I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome, everybody, right here to the Early Line. Dane and Kevin, hour number two of giving you the edge. That's what we do here on Sports Grid. And Kevin, wild card weekend. There's so many different ways to find the edge. We were just talking about an interesting market who will eliminate each team. You know what I find interesting, though? They don't have, like, nobody. You know, like, they'll be the Super Bowl champion, because if you want to bet the Super Bowl champion, you just go over to a different market in FanDuel. But I mentioned that because, Kev, there's so many different ways to build your card, to cover yourself, to hedge, and to skin the proverbial cat. One of them that I do think is interesting is, you know how we've had bets on, like, who will be the regular season rushing leader, passing leader, receiving yards leader? Well, you could do that for the playoffs. Okay, who will be the passing yards leader in the playoffs? And right now, Josh Allen is the favorite at 3-1 over Patrick Mahomes. And I think about it this way, Kev, you know, Mahomes, we all love, right? But even at its best, Mahomes, if they get to the Super Bowl, that will be the third game they play. Josh Allen would have the benefit. Josh Allen, the guy who's third on this list, the guy who's fourth on this list, and Brady and Breeze, they would have the potential advantage, if they get to the Super Bowl, to play in four games, right? So it's the not only how productive you think they will be, but you also got to add into the strategy how many games you think they will play. I think this is an interesting market. You got an Aileen on this, most passing yards in the playoffs? Or is this straight up, do you think, like, the Bills or the Bucks or the Saints will make it to the playoffs?
So this is the thing with this market, though. Right. No, and so if you're like, listen, I know for a fact that Mahomes is going to the Super Bowl, so I'm going to play him at plus 320. His max amount of games is three. If he plays Josh Allen, Josh Allen will meet his max at three games played. And if Josh Allen does win that game over the Kansas City Chiefs, then obviously that's
yeah, Breeze, game. Brady, Mahomes Russ on the NFC side too.
Here's the disconnect for me, because the guy that I lean towards is Russell Wilson at 13-1 in this market. Why is Russell Wilson 13-1 and Tom Brady plus 350? Because I think both have played difficult defenses in week one, right? In both Washington and the Rams. I go to the next week favored matchup, right? The Bucs play Green Bay, they're underdogs, and the Seahawks play the Saints, they'd be underdogs, but why is there this big of a gap between these two numbers here? I don't see it. I don't think it should be that big of a gap.
I personally don't either, but the reason, to answer your question, is in their difference in their win probability of week one of the playoffs, okay? They believe, you know, the Bucs are 7-8 point favorites. The Hawks are free, right? So when you think about that, they believe there is a much greater chance that Russell Wilson is only playing one game in the playoffs, as opposed to their belief that Tom Brady will play at least two. That's the other complicated factor here. I think it is very interesting. Let's apply this to the rushing yards leader for the playoffs. You know, where Kev, you know, I mean, we were talking about this in the regular season. Derrick Henry is now, you know, winter is coming, the back-to-back rushing leader. However, they're home dogs this week, right? So I'll tell you one thing. If Derrick Henry only plays in one playoff game, he ain't going to lead the NFL in rushing in the playoffs, even though he is a plus 260 favorite, right? So you have to overlay how many games you think they're going to play. You like anybody in this market? As we welcome in our radio audience from around the country, from around the globe, big shout out to all of our affiliates. Thank you for getting upon the grid and getting the winning edge early. For example, I look at a team that people think are hot that may get through and play multiple games, has a running back that is hot. I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path here. You know I love the house elf. What about J.K. Dobbins and the Baltimore Ravens? If they wind up getting through, you know they're going to be a run-heavy team. Mark Ingram has not been doing much lately. Ironically, J.K. Dobbins and Lamar Jackson have the same odds at plus 950. Anything strike your fancy here in this market?
You just mentioned him. So I'm interested in Lamar. And this Lamar is not some like gimmicky thing. I'm dead serious. Last year's top five total rushing yard leaders in the playoffs, four of the top five played three games. And then there was Lamar, who played one game and ran for 143 yards against the Tennessee Titans. I think as we get here into the playoffs, I think Lamar is going to keep running. I think Lamar, whatever the over rush prop is going to be against the Titans, we'll talk about it, I'm likely going to be playing it to the over. And if I think Lamar can win that game, which I do, I think Lamar is one of the few guys that can win this with a two-game number. Because, and this is what we're talking about, Derrick Henry's favored to only play once. And he's plus 260. Now, if Derek plays twice, then he's got a great shot at doing this with only two.
It's funny
games,
he only 100%. Needs twice up against other teams that may play four games. Derrick Henry's potential two games is good enough to be a favorite, like $4 better than anybody else.
Yeah. And I'll say this. I'm glad that we both, there's three guys at plus 950. And I think part of the reason maybe why we both gravitate is because the other guy at plus 950 is James Conner, and that's outrageous. In what world do they all of a sudden just go back to
running the ball? Like,
that's not a thing to me at all. Like, that's how I know I'm getting value at plus 950 with those.
No, I hear you. We'll touch on the receiver market. I think it's interesting as well. We'll touch on that a little bit later on. When we come back from the break, we are going to start to profile our Sunday games. I do have a trivia question for you, though. This season, when we talk about receivers, right? This season, Kev, there is only one set of teammates in the NFL that both caught 90 passes. And those set of teammates are in the NFL playoffs. I'll give you the whole break to think about it. When we come back, we look at the Sunday games here in the NFL wildcard weekend right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back, everybody, right here onto the grid. Good morning, everybody. It is the early line. If you were with us before the break, I told Kevin that there is only one set of teammates this year who both caught 90 passes this season, and I told him that they are, in fact, a playoff team. These guys have been going through it. Kevin, what is your guess of which teammates both caught 90 balls this year?
So once again, Brian and I kind of workshopping ideas. Yep,
little conglomerate, little syndicate, trying to figure it out.
But he's got a solid guess. He's going Diggs Beasley. Love the guess. I'm going good test taking here. I'm trying to use the context. I'm going A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, two Tennessee Titans. What do we got?
All right. You led yourself astray, Kevin, by trying to outsmart me. You thought I asked a question at a specific time and that was helpful for you. And you were thinking about the Sunday games. Unfortunately, it was in a Saturday game. I think I can even tell you which game and you may guess wrong at first. How about that? What if I say answer? I think the correct answer is in Rams Seahawks.
Really? And it's Cup and Woods, then?
It is, in fact, Cup and Woods. It is, in fact, Cup and Woods. Robert Woods with 90 catches. Cooper Kupp with 92. I thought a lot of people might guess Metcalf and Lockett, but in fact, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. But we turn our attention. I got a couple of other questions for you throughout hour number two, because you're doing okay so far, brother man. But with the Baltimore Ravens go into Tennessee to take on the Titans, listen, we talk about receivers all we want, but this is the number one and number two rushing games in the NFL right now, okay? The Tennessee Titans are number two at 168 yards a game, led by Derrick Henry in his 2,000-yard season, which, by the way, is fifth all-time. And then you have Baltimore on the other side. They're actually the number one run game in the NFL. Kev, they average 191 yards a game on the ground. J.K. Dobbins, the bus, Gus Edwards, and of course Lamar Jackson, who you think is interesting in that playoff market. Kev, I got to tell you something, man. You know this. I was getting ready to back both of these teams because I like the way they are built now that winter is coming. I might have taken the Tennessee Titans against any team in the AFC playoffs, except for maybe the Baltimore Ravens, and they are now home dogs of 3 points. 54.5 is the total, and as we know, there will be some fans in the stands in Tennessee. What do you think?
I love it. I'm nervous for it, and I shouldn't be, right? But I am, because you know I'm a Lamar guy, and it's what a moment, what an opportunity for him to right all wrongs against the team last year in the AFC divisional round, off the bye. He had three turnovers. Now, he had almost like 500 yards of offense, but like it was still, that's not what mattered, right? And it was this stamp of approval that Lamar can't win in the playoffs. And then this whole season was this confirmation for people that he can't win in the playoffs. But then this team started to turn a corner to end the year. They covered six consecutive games. Lamar was the quarterback for five of the six. He missed that first cover against Pittsburgh with RG3. So Lamar covers five in a row, wins five in a row, but the competition was questionable. The Giants, the Jags, the Bengals, Dallas making up four of those five. That's why that win in Cleveland was so important, because Lamar was unstoppable, then left the game. The game left their control, and then he comes back in on a 4th and 5 and throws a touchdown pass to Hollywood Brown that didn't even win the game. There was still more football that needed to be played after that play, but it was enough to say, I can trust this guy. He led the entire NFL in QBR over the final 5 weeks. Not Josh Allen, not Mahomes, not Rodgers. Lamar Jackson did QBR, where it's valuable as it also adds your rushing value to the equation, which is why I would always try and bring that up for a guy like him as opposed to straight up passer rating. The Titans are a team that I respect. I think the fact that they're getting three at home is probably disrespectful. But I like the Ravens. And That's what it's going to be. And that's what it's going to be. But I say I like the Ravens. I don't know if I want to still lay the three with the Ravens.
Right.
Because the number is difficult, right? And I don't think I'm going to be doing a minus 186 money line in this spot. Realistically, yeah. I'm either, even though I like Baltimore, going to get involved with a Tennessee teaser or just show up to the party with an over. And let's get some offense.
I'm with you here, Kev. I'm looking at the over as my fundamental bet in this game, right? I think it can get over 54 and a half. You talk about the playoffs last time. They also played this season, and maybe that's where this 54 and a half number comes from, because when they played this season, it went to overtime, if you remember, Kev, and the Tennessee Titans did win that game 30-24. The total of that score? 54, right? So, and this is what it comes down to for me. We know Tennessee, listen, you've been on them with Ryan Tannehill as a top 10 quarterback for a long time. I've been on them with thinking that Derrick Henry is a legit MVP candidate as winter is coming for a long time. They're top five in the league in points scored at 30.7 a game. They're second in the league in yards per game, Kev. This offense can hum, as you have said to me, as I have tried to ignore for a little while. It's their defense in Tennessee that is the problem, right? 28th in the league in terms of giving up yards, bottom three in the league in terms of surrendering touchdowns and first downs on third down, like not getting off the field. Do you think, though, Tennessee could like outscore Baltimore? Because they did this year in the regular season. They did last year in the playoffs, right? And yet everyone just thinks that Baltimore is rounding into form?
Tennessee can outscore anyone. Anyone. Like, no caveats. They can outscore anyone. That's why I'm timid about this number, because that's the type of offense that they bring to the table. And you mentioned that game early in the season or at the midway point of the year.
Yeah, in the middle.
The Titans had to come from behind, a double-digit deficit in Baltimore.
And they
have the ability to just score in bunches. Here's the interesting thing for me with this total, because I like it to be over as well. And people in this, you know, betting world tell you bet numbers, bet numbers, bet numbers. And I respect the heck out of it. But I do care about mindsets. And you have to be careful trying to bring narratives into the equation. But I'm going to see if this lands for you at all. Baltimore is up 21-10 in that game and finds a way to lose 30-24. If Baltimore is up, I think Baltimore learned from the first goal. We can't stop. Because the thing about the Titans is they don't stop. No matter how much they're down by, they don't stop. Remember the game against Cleveland where they were getting it was 38-7. They lost by six, the Titans. It was like – and because Cleveland was like, well, we've done enough, which they did. But the Titans are like, well, we're going to find out. Like the Titans are going to keep going. So Baltimore needs to keep going. So if the Ravens are in front, offense, offense, offense. And if the Titans are in front, well, that's still offense, offense, offense. So I think even if someone might try to say to you, dang, they've added 4 points to the number, the same way we were talking about how the total has changed in Rams-Seattle from their prior meetings, this game is seeing an uptick from that game, but I think it's justified. I think it should see that uptick. The Titans are the over team of the season, and I think Baltimore has every reason to think they need to score early, often, late, as much as possible.
Listen, you know, they are an over team, especially since Ryan Tannehill has been their quarterback. You know that. I got two more numbers for you. Derrick Henry, his DFS price this week is $10,200 on FanDuel, and yet somehow you still may have to include him in your lineup. The other number I wanted to tell you was this, Kev. Derrick Henry's rushing season this year, his 2,027 yards rushing, is the fifth best single season rushing mark of all time, Kev. When we come back, I'll give you the whole break to think about it. Who are the four men who have had a single season rushing performance total better than Derrick Henry this year? Come on back on the grid. We'll find out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking
and want to know how to make it your career.
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back, everybody, right here to the Early Line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. Big shout out to all of our affiliates for getting the edge early on here with Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh, especially Sirius Channel 204. We welcome you to the party. Kev, before the break, I asked you, you know, Derrick Henry had an absolutely ridiculous season, and I believe it warrants MVP consideration, and it was the fifth best rushing total all time when he ran this year for 2,027 yards this season. Four men have had rushing seasons better than that. Who are they, Kev?
So I know Eric Dickerson has the single season record, so I know that that's one and correct, right? So I have to try and think about who else do I know had 2,000 yard seasons. I know Adrian Peterson has, so I will submit that. I'm 90% confident that OJ Simpson did, so I will submit that. The last one is, like, I know Chris Johnson did, but I know he's not above Derrick Henry, so that would be a waste. I don't think Emmitt Smith, oddly, ever had a 2,000-yard rushing season, which is pretty wild. I'm going to go for my last guy. I'm going to go Jim Brown.
Okay. The single-season rushing record is held by Eric Dickerson, his 1984 season, where he went for 2,105 yards, the only time anyone's gotten over 2,100. Second all-time, you are also correct. Adrian Peterson's 2012 season, remember the year I think he came back after the ACL tear, right? He came back and got 2,000 yards in 2012. Your other two guesses were incorrect. O.J. Simpson does have a 2,000-yard season, but it was not above the 2027 of Derrick Henry this year. And I don't actually think Jim Brown did it because they didn't even play 16 games back then, Kev. But So here's what I'll give you. I'll give you a little mini hint. The other two dudes, right? One of them did it in 1997, and the other one did it in 2003. Does that help at all? It's a more recent vintage than you were thinking.
I've wanted to.
I'll give you one more guess.
This might be really bad. It might be really bad, but the name has been there. I don't know why Priest Holmes has been there for me this whole time. And that, I don't know. That could be totally off. And the only other guy, like, you're talking. Yeah, I don't know why, like, a Chiefs running back is in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm named. But the only other guy I can name is Barry Sanders. Because, again, I don't think Emmett did it. Oh, Marshall Faulk?
Well, let's give it to you because then we got some other Sunday games to talk about. You were in there. The fourth best season all time was in 1997 by Barry Sanders, who ran for 2,053 yards. The one you didn't get in 2003, a lot of people forget that in 2003, for a team that is playing on Sunday, Jamal Lewis ran for 2,066 yards. No, for the Baltimore Ravens that year.
What am I thinking?
Yeah, you're thinking of maybe like Larry Johnson, potentially, who had that year. But in any event, the Saints will be hosting the Chicago Bears this year. And listen, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all rushing, but Alvin Kamara was a beast with his 21 touchdowns this year, 16 via the run, another 5 via the pass. I mean, Kamara, 932 yards rushing, 756 yards receiving, 83 catches, leading running backs. But my question for you is, what vintage of Alvin Kamara or the rest of the Saints running backs might we get? Because they were down last week, Kamara himself testing positive for COVID. The rest of the Rams running back room with contact tracing, remember, they were going at it with Ty Montgomery and Taysom Hill. Yeah. What do you think about this Saints offense this week? Do the running backs get into form? Oh, yeah, Michael Thomas is there too.
So Michael Thomas is there, Kamara's there, but what are they? it's tough to say with a ton of confidence, right? Like, the one guy I always bring up is because he's been vocal about it is Myles Garrett, that he's just not been the same since he had COVID.
So right.
That means that Alvin Kamara being back, of course, is better than him not being around at all. But it doesn't mean that Alvin Kamara is going to be the guy. The last time he was on the field, he scored 6 touchdowns in a
this
game.
This is true.
There's no
guarantee. I think he'll be wearing league-approved cleats, though, this time around. I think
I don't know if he will. And in fact, I hope he doesn't. I hope he keeps the Christmas theme going.
Fair,
and conversely, right, Michael Thomas, like, hasn't played with Breece since week 1. They had nothing working in that game in terms of togetherness. Now, you would think that two guys that led to a single-season reception record not all that long ago, last year, are probably fine in the chemistry department. But again, how good to go is Michael Thomas? So, yeah, these guys look to be available, Dane, but how good are they going to be in this spot? Here's what I will say about the Saints in the playoffs since 2013. So the only reason I can't tell you the last time they covered a playoff number was 2013 is because in the Minnesota Miracle, they didn't kick the extra point and they covered by a half point. They've just not covered during this kind of resurgence for Drew Brees. Because remember when like they were just the Kings of 7-9 and he'd throw for 5,000 yards,
right?
But he was never in the conversation for anything because they had losing seasons. This resurgence and them getting back to the postseasons and being a perennial powerhouse in the NFC, they've not been covering numbers in the postseason. Whether it be a win in a non-cover or an outright disaster like what happened to them in opening weekend last year against Cousins and the Vikings. For whatever it is, this team hasn't been able to pull it together. I know Mitch Trubisky stands on the other sideline. I know backing Mitch Trubisky against the New Orleans Saints might feel like a silly thing to do, but it's the thing that I'm going to do.
Okay. So here's the thing, and let me ask you this, because if I use, say, the Tampa-Washington game, right, I know Tampa's going to be able to score some points. It's almost like I think the Saints will be able to score some points. My question really is about, even though Washington has a good defense, even though Chicago has a good defense, my question is really, how can Washington keep up? How can Washington score? And if I apply that question to the Bears, right, I want to ask you that. But at the same time, this Bears offense has looked a little better under Mitchell Trubisky, right? I mean, David Montgomery has been very good in his last 5, I believe. David Montgomery is actually 5th in the NFL this year in scrimmage yards. He finished 5th in the NFL this year in scrimmage yards. You don't think about that. Allen Robinson, another season, over 1,000 yards, over 100 catches. You know, I mean, they do have some weapons, but everyone thinks that this Bears offense is inept. Are they still?
So not only is their offense better than what it once was, their defense is not as good as it once was. Trubisky took over, right, against Green Bay after the Minnesota disaster. You and I pre-show debating whether people could or could not expect that poor of an offensive performance like the one the Bears put out there that day against the Vikings. Trubisky takes over. They have played 5 of the 6 games to the over. The lone exception, the Texans game, misses by 3 points because Jordan Akins has sun in his eyes and can't see a touchdown that hits him on the shoulder. That's the only game that doesn't go over since Trubisky's been under center. And the Saints have played 6 of their 8 games in the Dome this year to the over. So, and listen, I need 2 positive things at a football game, and I'll play it to the over. I love the overs. I always do. It's what it is. I openly admit that. Who doesn't, though, right? I know I'm not on an island with that. People just like overs. I do like this over. And the Bears plus 9.5 or the over, which one? I might end up on both. Although you have to then know that in order for you to go 2-0 in those bets, the Bears team total needs to hit. So if you play both of those, just know, like, you then need the Bears team total is basically your one bet. Just keep that in mind. But I also think this is another game that plays to the over. I like a lot of games to go over. I like overs.
You know, fair enough. Don't we all? It's a lot easier to cheer for an over than it is to cheer for an under if you're watching the game. I mean, This 9.5 scares me. Like, if you ask me fundamentally what I think will happen, I think the Saints will win the game, but I don't know that they'll cover the number. You know what I mean? And in this kind of playoffs, is there a line for you, Kev? You know, I remember you talking about maybe teasing some of the games earlier on when we were talking about the Saturday games.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know that I'm going to touch double-digit spreads in the playoffs. I get that the Bears are, you know, the 7 seed right here. I get that they just were a 500 team, right? And I think that in Washington also. But in a playoff scenario, do you really look at lines over a touchdown? I mean, that's kind of tough. Not only when you factor at least they're a quality playoff team, and things happen in the playoffs, right? Things get a little bit tighter in the playoffs. This is a big number for Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, we're going to take – now we can get the Bears over 2 touchdowns, right? But, again, it's like, do you really want to tease Trubisky, right? Like, at the end of the day, it's like either you're gonna figure this out or you're not, right? The thing is, and we've talked about
this – and the Saints defense is good, here. Kev. The Saints defense is good now. Well –
it was.
It has
then
been.
The defense saw Jalen Hurts and it's looked different. And then they picked off the Panthers. I'm serious though. It did look different. And then the Panthers threw 5 picks in week 17. Week 17, you make of that what you will. The Saints picking off, like Trubisky to throw an interception is going to be above -200. And it still might have value on it. And it might, I mean, maybe it'll be way higher than that. He might throw 2 picks in this game. Maybe 3. He's Trubisky. That's all live. The interesting thing is, Ding, and we've talked about this a lot this year, is trying to avoid the abundantly obvious teaser. And the Saints down, if you're playing it a 7-point teaser,
you get it through 7, you get it through 3. Yep.
Oh, oh, I'll pair that all day with the Bucs at a pick 'em. Oh, right. You will, huh? I'm sure that's going to go great. I've been trying to stay away from those blatantly obvious stare-you-in-the-face teasers this year. And sometimes they work, but other times you're sad and you're like, I can't believe the NFC East ruined my great team.
I hear you. Browns and Steelers, we talk about the last game up when we come back right here on the Early Line.
You have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't.
And wish you had.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line. Dana and Kevin looking at Wild Card Weekend. Had a lot of fun. We looked at these Saturday games. We've looked at some prop bets. We looked at some of the markets that FanDuel is also giving us for the NFL playoffs in terms of superlatives, best rusher, receiver, quarterback passing yards, and also who will eliminate who. And this, you know, you have to think about multiple weeks ahead. And one of these games that, you know, is a third matchup. And so I know people who are taking both sides of this game. Is the last one on Sunday night when the Cleveland Browns, without their head coach Kevin Stefanski, will be going to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. The Steelers are a 5.5-point favorite. This line has been moving, though, Kev, throughout the week. It was a little bit higher, and so maybe there is money coming in on the Browns, even though they'll be without their head coach. They'll be without offensive linemen on the COVID list. Harrison, their safety, went down as well. On the other side, though, Juju didn't practice yesterday with a knee. They did activate Eric Ebron off the COVID list. A lot of injuries and availabilities concerns, but I want to start with this. What's the impact of not having your head coach in your first playoff game for the last 18 years?
Yeah, I think the answer is certainly significant. It moved this spread, right? Yeah. Initially, I think this thing was around 3.5. It is back up to 6 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Okay. So some buyback there on the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, you're going to have Stefanski. It's the in-game stuff, right? That's really what this comes down to. The prep, the game plan of it all. He's right. Obviously going to be a part of that. It's
4th and 3 on your own 48. Do we go for it?
Yeah. And I think you kind of fundamentally, and listen, you know, like the Browns are going to try and prep themselves for every scenario in the world. But at the end of the day, you don't know until you're in it, right? The time, the score, the field position, who's playing well, who's playing poorly. Like, you can tell yourselves you know what you're going to do, but you don't know what you're going to do, right? It's where, oh, I'd run into a burning building to save someone, and then the building's on fire. Well, now what, right? Like, you don't right. know until you're in that mm-hmm. moment. So this number here is up to 6. It's because Stefanski's absence, it's been moved up this high. I wonder if it could get higher as we get closer. I think that's one of the things I'm very excited to see is, like, when we're an hour away from game time, are there any drastic movements right. where all of a sudden the Ravens are up to 4 or, you know, the Saints right. come down to 7? Like, I just wonder if there's anything crazy that happens like that. Could this get up to a 7? You wish Stefanski was there, though, Dane, because you've been talking about it a lot, and you said this, and I give you a ton of credit, because I wasn't as sure. Beginning of the year, you were like, this guy's going to fix the Browns. And I'm like, nah, is he? He did. He gets a lot of credit and probably would be my vote for coach of the year. So not having him definitely stings.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let me say this because, you know, the narrative on the Steelers has dramatically changed since about a month and a half or 2 months ago, right? And Kev, on one side, what I'm seeing is I'm seeing Big Ben just dink and dunk. They're not even trying to go down the field. Like, at least in the middle of the season, they were going down the field to guys like Chase Claypool, right? They were taking shots in the beginning of the year. They were at least attempting to have a run game, right? In the first 5 games, James Conner looked decent. That has not happened. My question is, do you think it's more of the same for Pittsburgh? Or do they try to take more shots? Do they, you know, try to establish the run more than they have? Because we've seen this version of the Pittsburgh offense, and it hasn't looked good. Now they're here in the playoffs. Do they have anything to pull out of their bag of tricks? Do you expect the Steelers offense to look any different? I mean, you were thinking that Juju and, like, Deontay Johnson could be the teammates that caught 90 balls, right? But all of those were for, like, yeah. 5-6 yards a catch, probably.
Yeah.
Will the Steelers yeah. offense look any different, either with an emphasis on the run game, whether you think it could be successful or not, or, you know, is Big Ben was rested last week against the Browns? Has he built up that arm strength for this weekend?
So I think you kind of talk about the way things have transitioned for them, the perception. They yeah. were 11-0, and I think it's fair to say that that record masked the issues that were becoming evident week by week, right? And then the bottom started to fall out, and the Steelers transitioned to the most unwatchable offense in the entire league. And then for 2.5 quarters, that remained the case against the Colts. Then they figured it out all of a sudden. And they beat the Indianapolis Colts, and Big Ben throws for 340, 3 touchdowns. The trio looks back. Juju, Deontay find the end zone. Claypool had a big week last week against this Browns team with 100 and a score. So this is the, I think, question people have to ask themselves. Did the Indianapolis Colts game erase the prior, I don't know, 2 months that Big Ben was putting out there? Not for me. And I'll tell you this, you try and find your upsets here. You don't want to force them. You got to believe what you believe. Don't, you right. know, it's kind of like, oh boy, is this 7th question in a row really C? Maybe, all right, I'll go B. I'll go B this day. And it was C. It was C the whole way, right?
Right.
At the end of the day, we know there's going to be an upset somewhere. And
you have yet to pick an outright upset this weekend. You have yet to pick an outright upset this weekend.
This goes back to the quarterback confidence rankings that we did. Mm. And I had Baker over Big Ben. And I know the playoff experience, I mean, it couldn't be any more stark. Again, Baker's literally the only quarterback. Good old Mitch has had himself a run in the playoffs before. Baker's never played in a playoff game. Big Ben's won Super Bowls, plural. I get it. I'm taking the Browns, and I'm taking them with this. Because, again, if you play a team on the money line, you should still take the points. Don't go down because you're like, oh, I'm only going to play money. Like, play both of them. Play both of them and hope you hit both of them. And if your team, if the Browns lose by 3 and you right. lose money, that would be a shame, right? So play them both. But I'm going to roll with Cleveland. I think Nick Chubb is the most underrated running back in football. And not that he's an under-the-radar guy. I just think there's a world that Nick Chubb might be a top three running back in football. If you look at just what he does efficiency-wise, yeah, he's an absolute star at the position. And I think Myles Garrett's going to be a bear for the Steelers to deal with. And over everything, I'm just not going to let a quarter and a half of resurgence from Big Ben cloud everything else that this team was putting out there when they lost to the Bengals in a get right spot where they needed the game. I'm taking the Browns.
All right, fair enough. And if you are taking the Browns, you'd be back in the third best rushing offense in the NFL. We talk about this. Remember, I wanted Baltimore and Tennessee as the profile of team, and I've always said maybe the Browns are in there as well. That's because they join the Ravens and the Titans as the third best rushing offense with your boy Nick Chubb, who you think is underrated at 148 rushing yards a game. We had a board up that I want to put back up, though, because you were talking about the Steelers offense. Who do you like in the props market for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because, you know, I give you the term the fantasy herd, right, Kev? You know, and part of the benefit maybe of the herd, of all these guys' numbers are the same. Someone's going to go over their number here. When I see Juju at only 56.5, Johnson at 63, Claypool at 48, Connor only 48 rushing yards. You can even throw in a guy like Eric Ebron, who may be part of the herd. I kind of feel like, you know, if you play two of these guys, one of them is going to go over. Who do you think Big Ben will be focusing on in this critical playoff game?
So right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook only has the receiving yardage numbers up for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah,
I will always look towards Deontay Johnson, because as much as you can say that it's a three-headed monster, I still someone is at the front of that, and I believe Deontay, despite all of the drops, has been that guy for Big Ben.
Okay,
14 targets in that game against the Colts, but I will look for the receptions, because typically, and I actually usually prefer to play yards over receptions, because if I think you're going to catch eight balls, like what I mean, what's the yards per catch where you don't get over the receiving yards model, right? Plus, if you have a big catch, then but the Steelers are different. Deontay Johnson can catch eight passes for 40 yards, which is a disgrace.
But Claypool could get this in one catch. Claypool could get his number in one catch.
He can, but that's relying on Big Ben to hit the deep ball with, and maybe not consistency. Maybe he only does need to hit it once. And that's why I don't mind. And I like in the Super Bowl last year, I was all over Sammy Watkins, because I'm like, yeah, Sammy Watkins catches balls for like 15 yards a catch, right? So.
Right.
I have no issue when you play. I would play Claypool yards over catches. That's the guy that that's what he profiles
at. I agree.
100%, right? But as far as, I guess, of the trio, who do I trust the most? Deontay. The interesting thing is I feel like the guy that – and what a weird Juju Smith-Schuster season, right? I mean, you think back, like, he's next to Antonio Brown, and, like, this guy's next up. And then AB leaves, and we're like, he's going to have a dominant season. Ben gets hurt. Juju's banged up all year. We don't know whether to make heads or tails of it. We now come into this year, and he is seemingly the least attractive option of the three. But sometimes you pull up a Steeler box score, and you're like, oh, yeah, Juju led them in catches, yards, and score. Like, he has those games, and we go to the post.
Juju had 97 catches, 831 yards, and 9 touchdowns this season.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a good line. And you're right. You think about 100%. D.O., you think about Claypool. It's almost like Juju had a bad year because like Claypool emerged or something like that. Yeah. But that's a good stat line. I'll take that season to the bank. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What about the Steelers defense? That has been, you know, I mean, they're number one in the league in sacks. And the Browns offensive line is banged up and compromised, right? The third in the league in terms of points per game allowed. Like, do you think these Browns, without some of their pieces and without some of the protection up front, they literally signed the guy out of retirement, okay, to play on the offensive line. Like, you think Baker's going to be upright? Because remember, they move the pocket. They need the play act. They give him a clean pocket. If he's under pressure, he's a dramatically different quarterback.
No, he absolutely is. And I think they're going to continue. I guess the one good thing, right, is, you know, we know typically the first, they always say, right, 15 plays are scripted out.
Scripted, yeah. Right,
so I think Stefanski will be obviously a piece of that, and he'll try to ensure Baker finds a rhythm early in this game. And that's something, again, that we've talked about a lot here on the show.
Yeah,
is, yes, they love to run the ball, but they like to run the ball when they're in a comfortable spot. They need, they like to come out running play action and getting Baker in a rhythm. And I think you'll see that in the beginning of this game here from Baker Mayfield. I think the funny thing is, compare this matchup where you have two division foes to Rams Seahawks. They played twice since November. We feel like we have like this grasp on how those matchups looked. These two matchups were a Steelers slaughter of the Browns, and then a Week 17 game that Mason Rudolph started. Like, how much, if anything, are you even putting in either game? Like, I'm not putting a ton of stock in either one.
I can't, because then also there's so many different players and even the head coach not being there. Last trivia question, Kev, for you to be able to redeem yourself. You didn't know the Colts were in the AFC East. You didn't know Woods and Kupp. You got some of the sacks guys, some of the rushing leaders guys, right? There are three quarterbacks all time, Kev, who in their first three seasons – had over 3,500 passing yards and over 20 touchdowns. Three quarterbacks have done this all time. The third guy was added to the list this year at the end of his third season, and he's playing in the playoffs. Just so you know, that year, one of those answers would have to be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Baker Mayfield. He did the feat along with two other guys. Who are they? Redeem yourself as we tie a nice, neat little bow on this episode of The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, right here to The Early Line, finishing off a wild card football Friday, giving you the edge on the grid. Before we went to the break, I gave Kevin a final chance to redeem himself in the trivia world. There are three quarterbacks who, in their first three NFL seasons, reached the plateaus of over 3,500 yards and over 20 passing touchdowns. I gave him a hint in the break that, you know, one of them joined the list this year, so it's their third season. We talked about what class that is of quarterbacks. The other two answers are from the same organization, the same franchise was able to do it. And boy, Kev, are we going to bring it full circle? That's your hint. Who are the three names?
I'll tell you what, it's going to be tough when the hints that you've given me are as helpful as you believe, but they've certainly not. They've not gotten me where I need to go. And I've got three guesses. I know two of them are wrong, but I know Big Ben started as a rookie was good. I know Russ started as a rookie was good. And then you said it's one of either Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Baker Mayfield.
The third year.
I'm pretty sure Baker threw 20 touchdown passes his rookie year, even though he started late. I don't think either Lamar or Josh Allen did. So I'm going Baker Mayfield as my third guy. Hopefully at least I get that right. But even that's not a great achievement, considering I had to.
So your guess is Baker Mayfield, Big Ben, and Russell Wilson?
Yes.
Baker Mayfield is correct. This year, he got 3,563 yards and 26 touchdowns, his third straight season doing so. Let's bring it full circle. Our producer, Brian, thinks he knows. Full circle is because the franchise in question won the AFC East more recently than the Buffalo Bills. It's the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning and the one everyone always forgets when I ask you these questions, Mr. Andrew Luck. That'll about do it for us here. Wild card weekend is going to be super. Six games, and we'll be here to break them down on the early line. You think the Browns may be the only one who can pull the outright upset? We'll be talking about it left and right. No? What?
I think a lot of people can pull an upset. I just don't know how many I'm confident
gonna pick. Well, we'll see who Jared and Ariel pick, because right here on all of our affiliates, The Morning After is up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.